Jackson, you're a tech pro too? Well, you should play Lavi again next time. You're a pro? Come on. Good job, kids. How many mission trips did Paul take?
Three.
Very good. No, we took three, at least three. Give me some. How about? Maybe more. Alright everybody, we're gonna start. Grayson's gonna lead us in a song. You have to say real life. What song is it?
Blue Skies and Rainbows.
Alright, please, good guy.
Blue Skies and Rainbows.
James chapter 2, verse 1. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory.
James chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. My brothers, show no partiality as you hold the faith in our Lord Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory. For if a man wearing a gold ring and fine clothing comes into your assembly, and a poor man in shabby clothing also comes in, and you pay attention to the one who wears the fine clothing and say, "You, sit here in a good place," while you say to the poor man, "You, stand over there, or sit down at my feet." Have you not then made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts?
Jose.
will be singing for Sanity, Victor and Jesus, verses 1 and 3.
I heard an old story, how the Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. And I heard about his glory, of his precious blood that's holy.
Good evening. I want to welcome everyone here to Florence Boulevard for our Sunday evening worship service. I want to extend a special welcome to those that may be visiting with us. If you are visiting with us, we are honored that you have chosen to come our way and worship with us tonight. We ask that you would fill out an attendance card that is placed in the pew in front of you, and if you will pass that to an outside aisle, it will be collected at the end of our services tonight. Ray Carpenter is still in North Alabama Medical Center at this time, but Millie Van Dyke has been sent home. That was yesterday, so she's at home now. I want to ask you to continue to pray for these and also all those that are sick and grieving the loss of loved ones and our shut-ins as well. Please remember the church-wide Christmas party tonight after evening services. And this will be the last day to sign up for the Primetimers Christmas Party and 49ers Christmas Party, excuse me. The sign-up sheets are in the foyer. Please sign those if you plan to attend tonight. If you would like to ride the bus from the church building to the Primetimers Christmas Party, please contact David Gooch and let him know. And also, you are invited to a come-and-go birthday celebration honoring Jake Van Dyke next Saturday, the 16th, at 4 p.m. in the Church Fellowship Hall. Jake will be turning 90 this birthday. So please come and help him celebrate his birthday this coming weekend. That's all the announcements that I have this evening. If there are no more announcements, we'll begin our worship service.
If you'd like, go ahead and stand as we begin this evening in Psalm 146. I will praise the Lord as long as I live, and I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Let's do that tonight.
Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Sing aloud to God, let the people shout before His throne. Hallelujah, sing aloud to God, make a joyful noise unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise His name. From the ends of the earth, from the depths of the sea, let all creation praise His name. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the Lord. Shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah, shout hallelujah unto the
seated. Next song will be We Shall Assemble.
We shall assemble on the mountain. We shall assemble at the throne with humble hearts into His presence. We bring an offering of song. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah.
opening prayer, we'll sing, My Hope is Built on Nothing Less.
My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. I'm Christ the solid rock, I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When darkness veils His lovely face, I rest on His unchanging grace. In every high and stormy gale, my anchor holds within the veil. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand. When He shall come with trumpet sound, oh, may I then in Him be found. In His righteousness alone, faultless to stand before the throne. On Christ the solid rock I stand, all other ground is sinking sand, all other ground is sinking sand.
Let's pray together. Our holy God, Lord, we come to You at this time recognizing You as our Father, the Creator of the universe, the One who gives us life. Father, what a joy it is to worship You anytime, but Father, when we have an opportunity to worship You together with our brothers and sisters, how wonderful it is. Father, I pray that You would be with those around the world at this time who are in harm's way, who are trying to worship You. I pray that You would be with those that are not able to worship You. Father, please give them strength. Help us, Lord, that we never take for granted this opportunity that we get each week. Father, Your love for us is immeasurable. We don't understand it, but God, we're so thankful for it. Lord, I pray that You would be with us this evening as we are in worship to You. Help us as we're bowed, or as we have our heads bowed and our eyes closed, that we can truly see You at Your throne of mercy and grace. That as we sing these songs, we see a smile on Your face. And as we lift up this prayer, Father, we pray that You would receive it as a sweet aroma. Holy Father, we have so many needs in this world. Most of them are selfish. But Father, we have those in our congregation who are hurting. Father, this will be the first time that many will celebrate the birth of Your Son without their partner. And Father, I pray that You would comfort them in a special way. I pray that You would be with those who are sick, those who are afflicted, and Father, there's so many, but Miss Patty comes to mind at this time, and Miss Janice, and Miss Millie, and our brother Ray. Father, we We just take for granted our good health until it's gone. And Father, I pray that you would just heal these fine people and give them many more days here on this earth to serve you. I pray that you would help us throughout the remainder of this service, that we might continue to focus on you, and that we might truly worship you in spirit and in truth. It's through your wonderful Son and our Savior's name I pray. Amen.
So we prepare to reflect on the cross. We'll sing Hallelujah, What a Savior. If you'd like, let's stand as we sing.
Men of sorrows, what a
first day of unleavened bread, when the Passover lamb was being sacrificed, his disciples said to him, "Where do you want us to go and prepare for you to eat the Passover?" And he sent two of his disciples and said to them, "Go into the city, and a man will meet you carrying a pitcher of water. Follow him. And wherever he enters, say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher says, where is my guest room in which I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' And he himself will show you a large upper room furnished and ready, and prepare for us there." And the disciples went out and came to the city and found it just as he had told them. And they prepared the Passover. And when it was evening, he came with the 12. And as they were reclining at the table and eating, Jesus said, "Truly I say to you that one of you will betray me, one who is eating with me." They began to be grieved and to say to him one by one, "Surely not I." And he said to them, "It is one of the 12, one who dips with me in the bowl. For the Son of Man is to go just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." And while they were eating, he took some bread, and after blessing, he broke it and gave it to them and said, "Take, this is my body." And when he had taken a cup and given thanks, he gave it to them, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, "This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many. Truly I say to you, I shall never again drink of the fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new in the kingdom of God." And after singing a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. So let's all go to our Father to bless the bread. Father, we're thankful for this opportunity to commune, to remember your Son and the sacrifice that he made. And we take this bread and remember that this is his body, that he lived as we did. Father, please help us to observe ourselves and take this in a well-pleasing manner. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. Give thanks for the cup. Father, once again we come before your throne celebrating the life that Jesus gave in our stead, and we're so thankful for this ultimate sacrifice, the only sacrifice that could cover our sins. We pray that we'll take this emblem in a manner that's well-pleasing to you, and it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen. While we don't pass around the plates, in the evening there are opportunities. If you prepare an offering, there is drop boxes in the back of the auditorium. But so we want to give thanks for all of our monetary blessings. Let's pray. Father, we're so thankful for the blessings that we enjoy, and we pray that we will share them to further your kingdom. Help us to always recognize that we would have nothing if it was not for you. And we're so thankful, and we pray that we'll always be mindful just of how much you've done for us. And it's in your Son's name we pray. Amen.
Before we have our message brought to us this evening, we'll sing In Christ Alone. If you like, let's stand as we do so. We ask you to remain standing as we have our reading immediately following.
In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, burned through the fiercest drought and storm. What heights above!
Tonight's reading will come from 1 Corinthians chapter 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, and I'll be reading verses 19 and 20. The churches of Asia greet you. Aquila and Priscilla greet you heartily in the Lord, with the church that is in their house. All the brethren greet you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. You may be seated.
Do you know those couples, or maybe not even those couples, but an individual that you look to? Not just that you look to, but you look up at. And not just that you look up at, you put them there because you learn from them and glean from them. You appreciate them and aspire at some point to be like them in some way. You probably have that person in your mind. I see family from Pleasant Valley. Good to see you, Miss Gwen. Yes, ma'am. Sorry, I got sidetracked. That's a wonderful lady right there. Hope you get to meet her. It's one of those things right there. I have people like that throughout different stages of my life. Maybe you do too. And I hold those people close. You probably do in your mind. You think about them. There's a couple I want to glean from tonight. Their names are, however you want to say it, and Priscilla. Aquila or Aquila, however you like to pronounce that. I'm going to go with Aquila. It just seems smoother. Aquila and Priscilla. How did Paul interact with them? How did he get in touch with them? So I want to get to this talk on Paul and his missionary journeys. Did those slides come through, Tyler? Okay. Never mind. On those. How many kids and pew packers? Paul blank. Preaching trips did make. How many did we talk about? Paul, 3 preaching trips did make. At least 3. Very good. At least 3 that we know of. I remember years ago someone said, that we know of. I'm like, how do you know that we know of? There are 3 and there only were 3 because the song in VBS said there were 3. Paul, 3 preaching trips did make and went to Rome for Jesus' sake. At least. We know at least through his journeys in Acts chapter 13 and 14, chronicling his first missionary journey, 15 and then 16, 17, 18, the second 18 and forward is the third missionary journey on his trip to Rome to end Acts that Luke wrote for Theophilus. So at least 3 preaching trips Paul made. I was going to give you a map and show you all those. It's pretty neat. But it's in the third missionary journey that Paul went into Corinth. And if you're reading through 1 and 2 Corinthians, you need to have these things in the back of your mind. He went into Corinth and stayed there for about 18 months. Did you know that? About a year and a half. I just spoke with somebody right before worship services began. We spoke about something that happened what seemed like a lifetime ago, but it was literally just 3 months. 18 months is a long time. Especially when you think about Paul and all the different cities that he went, the churches that he planted in Corinth for 18 months. How do I know that? In Acts chapter 18. Turn your Bible there and get it open to Acts chapter 18. We're going to be in that text for a little bit, looking at Paul's interactions with Aquila and Priscilla, 1-4, and looking at a missionary journey he takes later in verse 18 of Acts chapter 18. This was his third missionary journey. We know that because when he's writing the Corinthian letter, he had a first visit into Corinth. He went to the city at least 3 times. He had his first visit that seemed to be some painful visit. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, 1-2 kind of suggests that. And in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 1, we know he made his third visit. We have 2 letters from Paul to the Corinthian Christians, 2 that we know of, and there might be a third one out there that God did not see fit to keep and to preserve for our sake. We know that because in 1 Corinthians chapter 5, he said, in my letter I wrote to you, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1. Well, that's our 1 Corinthians chapter 5. There was a previous one. In 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 1, and then later in verse 9, he makes a statement that says this to indicate that there were multiple letters. 1 Corinthians 5, 9, I wrote to you in my letter not to associate with the sexually immoral people. Verse 11, but now I am writing to you. And so in our 1 Corinthians, it seems to be that it is actually his second letter to the church at Corinth. And then we have a 2 Corinthians that might be at least his third. And so we have several trips, several letters. Either way, he spent 18 months in this town of Corinth and made great and deep connections. In Acts chapter 18, verses 1 to 4, look at this. After this, Paul left Athens and went to Corinth. He found a Jew named Aquila, a native of Pontus, recently come from Italy with his wife Priscilla because Claudius had commanded all the Jews to leave Rome. And he went to see them. And because he was of the same trade, he stayed with them and worked, for they were tent makers by trade. And he reasoned in the synagogue every Sabbath and tried to persuade Jews and Greeks. Paul did the same work as Aquila and Priscilla. And even though Paul had a right to earn money from his preaching, he didn't want to do that lest the glory of the gospel seem to be a money-making scheme. So he gave up the right to be paid, and he worked as a tent maker to earn his living and to support his ministry. So he stayed with Aquila and Priscilla. He lived there. He worked there. He reasoned in the synagogue and in the community trying to persuade people about Christ. He grew to be utterly connected to these two. Now, who were those two? They were people that were kicked out of Rome. Look at verse 2, the middle of it. Jews had to leave Rome because Claudius. In about 49 AD, there was this thing called the Edict of Claudius, that because the Jews were violently disrupting, boisterously disrupting life in Rome, because they followed this leader, Crestus, that most believe to be Christus, that we probably call the Christ, they were kicked out. We don't want your kind around here. So they left Rome, they went into Corinth, and Aquila and Priscilla might be minorly mentioned, but could have a major impact. And I want to look at some lessons learned from Aquila and Priscilla tonight. Lesson number one. They turned, and I love this phrase, obstacles into opportunities. I want you to think about yourself as I go through all these lessons, and I'm going to hit them quickly, and consider your life, and maybe you might need one of these. They turned obstacles into opportunities. Claudius kicked them out of their home, not just their house and that they had to move across the street, not just from the city and they could move next door, but they moved out of Rome into Corinth in a completely different culture, city, environment, and people. Now, when did they become Christians? And I love this. I don't know. And the Bible doesn't really seem to indicate when they converted to Christ, but hear this. What if they converted to Christ in Rome and then were told to leave? Well, here's what it means. If they were converted to Christ in Rome, could they have been thinking this? I just gave my life to Jesus, and this is what God allows to happen in my life? Do you see how people could spiral to that place? I became a Christian, and now I've got to deal with this? You better believe it. Obstacles into opportunities. When they went into Corinth, they were hosting the church in their house for worship and the church gatherings. Their home church was their home. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 3. Obstacles into opportunities. Instead of crying and whining and moaning and talking about how terrible it is, they said, you know what? We're here. Let's serve the Lord wherever we are. Great. Point and lesson. Maybe they didn't convert to Christ. Maybe there were Jews that were kicked out, and when they moved into Corinth, they heard about this Christus. And they listened. And they learned and loved and were converted. Maybe they were converted having been kicked out and their life was in shambles, but they heard the message of Christ and an obstacle was turned into an opportunity. I don't know, but maybe somebody needs that message tonight. Lesson number two, following Christ does not always mean that your life will be paved with peace and ease. As a matter of fact, it's the exact opposite. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12, do not be surprised when you face fiery trials, because if Christ had to face them, we do too. But when we face them, glorify God in it. I think we must expect life to be without ease and peace in the world. Because our peace that passes understanding comes from where, church? Say his name, Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, 7, and 8. And amen to that. Lesson number 3, teamwork makes the dream work. I love saying that to my family. I think I'm getting to the point where my kids are starting to be like, oh, Dad, here it is again. That's right, it is again. I'm going to make you say it out loud and embarrass you in front of people. Teamwork makes the dream work. Why? Because you need to learn it. What I love about Aquila and Priscilla is when I read about one, I also read about the other. Have you ever known a married couple to be like that? I'm thinking about Jake and Millie. Millie's in the hospital right now. Oh, she's back home, sorry. Normally, wherever you see Jake, you see Millie, but she's so sick. She can't be, so weak. But for days on end, that man slept on an uncomfortable couch in a hospital. You know, one of the worst places on earth is on the hospital bed. There he was. Wherever you saw Millie, you saw Jake. And wherever you saw Jake, you saw Millie. I love couples like that. I see that, and I'm so inspired by that. Whenever I read about Aquila, I read about Priscilla. They worked together. They lived together. They ministered together in such a tedious trade like tent making. Do you know how hard it is to work together with anybody? Now, how much harder is it to work with somebody that you're close to, that you love? Might I even say your spouse? That's tough right there. But they did. And I love that about them. Togetherness is hard. Church, do we need to hear that message one more time? Not the whole thing from the beginning, but just right there. Togetherness is hard. But unity is in Christ. And it's in Christ alone. Number 4. They went on an out-of-city mission trip with Paul. Look in Acts chapter 18. A whole text is discussed in Acts chapter 18. When we get to verse 18, the Bible says, after this, Paul stayed many days longer and then took leave of the brothers and set sail for Syria. And with him, watch this, Priscilla and Aquila. He took them with him, or they volunteered to go with him. Either way, they went on an out-of-city mission trip. I think every Christian in their lifetime ought to go on at least one out-of-city mission trip. Why? There's just something different about it. I don't know how to explain it. Mike could probably tell you more about it. AJ could tell you more about it, much more than I could. When you go out of your comfort zone, in the comfort of your home, your bed, and your city, and you're placing yourselves in someone else's environment for the sake of the gospel of Christ, I would argue that you might be more impacted than anybody else. You need to do it. And if you haven't, you need to be looking for an opportunity within the Florence Boulevard Church Ministry to do it. And if it's not here, if we don't have it, talk to some other people because they're going. People are going all the time from this place all across the world. You need to do it. What's really neat about this is connecting some of the dots of the scriptures. Notice at the end of verse 18, do you see a city called Cenchrea? At Cenchrea, he had his hair cut, for he was under a vow. Well, who else do we know was a servant of the Lord's church in Cenchrea? Maybe Phoebe, someone I talked about last week from Romans chapter 16. Phoebe, a servant of the Lord and his church in Cenchrea. I wonder, did Paul, Aquila and Priscilla, was she already a Christian? And then when they got into that place, they met Phoebe and spoke with Phoebe? I don't know. Maybe she wasn't a Christian, and in that city, in that place, they met her, evangelized to her, and they helped to convert her to Christ. I don't know. But in Romans chapter 16, verse 1 and 2, Paul is speaking to Phoebe, or to the church in Rome, commend our sister Phoebe, a servant of the church at Cenchrea. And the very next verse, verse 3, he said, greet Prisca and Aquila as well, my fellow workers in Christ Jesus. They risked their lives for me. I don't know, but it's neat to think about. Number 5, they courageously confronted somebody who needed to understand more fully the gospel of Jesus Christ and the Word of God. In that same context of Acts chapter 18, we just read verse 18. Let's look at verse 19. And they came to Ephesus, and he left them there. So he left Aquila and Priscilla there. But he himself went into the synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. And there was a conversation there. Spending some time in verse 23, he departed and went from one place to the next through the region of Galatia and Phrygia, strengthening all the disciples. Verse 24. Now a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. And he was an eloquent man, competent in the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and being fervent in spirit, he spoke and taught accurately the things concerning Jesus, though he only knew the baptism of John. Well, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue, but when Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they took him aside and explained to him the way of God more accurately. What happened in that interaction? Because boy, do I want to know. In our Bible class this morning, Kyle Dixon intelligently is helping us dive into this idea of the spiritual discipline and the spiritual maturity it takes to deal with people in a godly way. Both sending what needs to be said in love and receiving what needs to be received in love. And one person brought up, you know, I just don't enjoy being told what to do. And I would second that. And if somebody, I'm in the synagogue, boldly proclaiming something that I believe and know to be true. And then all of a sudden somebody I don't know pulls me inside and said, listen, you need some help on this. I might be like, oh, last time I checked, you weren't boldly speaking. So you're going to pull me aside in private, tell me what I need to do. Because you're so bold to sit there and say nothing. I might react like that because I'm a bit of a rebel. But what did Apollos do? When they pulled him aside, they taught him the way more accurately. And I see nothing about the falling out of Apollos and Christianity, of the fight between Apollos and Aquila and Priscilla. But a man that learned, moved on, and moved up in maturity and continued proclaiming the gospel. They had the ability, it seems, to speak in love in private. By the way, they pulled him aside. They didn't publicly refute him. Because when you have something that someone else needs to hear, you pull them aside privately, converse in love that they might receive it in love, and you are both built up together, and then you go and do your ministry in separate places. That's what I see. They courageously confronted somebody, and we need to hear that message. Lesson number 6. There's only 7, church. Lesson number 6. They used their home for worship and church gatherings. Now, this is interesting. Because in Romans chapter 16, verse 3, greet Aquila and Priscilla, fellow workers in the Lord. That's Rome. In 2 Timothy chapter 4, I believe it's in verse 19, I think it is. Timothy is writing to the church in Ephesus. And who does he mention? Aquila and Priscilla. So they had a home in Ephesus and they had a home in Rome. Do you think they just had a winter lodging place? No. When they were kicked out, they used their home for the work of the Lord. And when they were able to go home, when things were good, they didn't allow the good ease of life to callous them from the work they knew they needed to do. They continued serving the Lord, both in obstacles and hardships and opportunities and in easy times. How about you? Is your home a place of faith? Where you are cultivating faith within your family and those that you bring into your home. Lastly, number 7. I had a question I wanted you to read. Did they have kids? I don't know. I have no idea. If they didn't have kids, what if they wanted to have kids and couldn't? Well, they didn't use that hardship or that suffering as a reason not to go and serve God in the Lord's church and to be missionaries wherever they were. And I appreciate that. What if they didn't have kids? What if they did have kids, but the Bible never mentions it? Well, the children were never an excuse not to serve the Lord and do what they need to be doing. And I appreciate that. The problem of kids, that's not even a good statement, is it? But sometimes that's how we view them. Children are a blessing. And I appreciate the noises they make, the sounds they make. A silent church at times might be a dead church. But a little noisy, boisterous church might just be a church that's full of life in the Spirit. So to parents, you may not be at peace mentally, but know that your church family loves you and cares for you exactly where you are with those kids in the pew. But back to Aquila and Priscilla. They didn't use the hardship as an excuse. And they didn't use the blessing as an excuse. They knew one thing. Serve the Lord. Jesus said, whoever wants to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel will save it. Mark 8, verse 35. What does it look like to lose your life for the sake of Christ? I might suggest to you tonight, it looks like Aquila and Priscilla, supporting those who proclaim the gospel and plant churches, devoting your time and energies to the local church and the work that we are a part of, growing in your knowledge of the Bible that you might help bring somebody else along the way, discussing God's word with others, maybe even confronting with courage and love, going anywhere that the Lord says to go, whenever he says to go, using your resources to advance the gospel of God's kingdom, and being willing to die for fellow believers. Those are some lessons I learned from Aquila and Priscilla. Maybe somebody needed one tonight. Think about your life. And can we help you serve God more purely, sincerely, and fully? Think about what you know, but what you might need to know. Do you need to be pulled aside and brought up to know the way of the Lord more accurately? You can study with any of our shepherds, with me, with John. I have a group of people I turn to if I can't get into a Bible study with you, men and women. If you need that, would you let us know tonight? But maybe you're outside of Christ. I should never speak without mentioning the gospel of Jesus. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 2 and 3. That he came, he died, he was buried, and he rose again that we might live in the newness of life if we meet him in a death, burial, and resurrection like his. That is baptism. Well, maybe you need to be a Christian today because you're lost. Come, let us know any of these and others as we stand and sing.
Need of grace, in need of love, in need of mercy, rain down from high above, in need of strength, in need of peace, in need of things that only you can give to me, in need of Christ.
I am.
would be seated, please. We've been asked to kill a few minutes to allow those that are preparing our church Christmas party to have a few minutes to do that. So we're going to fill that time with the best way we can, and that's with worship to God. Let's start with, Tyler, if you don't mind, I texted you a list, Lord Reign in Me. You can pull that up. We got about three songs here we'll pull up and sing that, and then we'll dismiss here shortly. As soon as I find it. There we go.
Over all the earth you reign on high, every mountain stream, every sunset sky. But my one request, Lord, my only aim, is that you reign in me again. Lord, reign in me, reign in your power over all my dreams. In my darkest hour, you are the Lord of all I am. So won't you reign in me again? Over every thought, over every word, may my life reflect the beauty of my Lord.
Song will be every time. Every time. This has a guy's lead and a lady's echo.
Every time I kneel to pray, I open up my heart to the Lord. Every time I close my eyes, I feel the sweet embrace of my Lord. I don't know why so many things seem to get in the way of seeing my God's glory, but I try every day to see and to thank Him for all the things He's given me. I see the gentleness of the Lord. Every time I watch a storm, I know the awesome power of my Lord. I don't know. My God's glory.
to save.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of the Savior.
Remington that led that a few weeks ago or for youth-led worship or something, but that's a good one. I know it may be new to some, so I thought it a good opportunity to go through it. He indeed is mighty to save. Our last song will be There's a Stirring. If you'd like, let's stand as we have this song, and then we will have our closing prayer after this. Whoever has that closing prayer, if you don't mind, give thanks for the food that we're about to enjoy. And we encourage everybody to be a part of our family Christmas party. This is one of my favorite events that we do. It's just always a fun time. And I'm not saying that because Ginger plans it. I actually really believe that. It's a real good thing. So if you're visiting with us, stay with us. We'll have plenty, lots of food and fun. Do that. And, of course, we want to encourage everybody to be back Wednesday night at 6:30 for our midweek Bible study. We'll sing There's a Stirring and then be dismissed in prayer.
There's a stirring deep within. When I see my gracious Savior face to face, when all is dark, is that His voice I am hearing? Come away, my precious one. Is he gone?
thank you for this beautiful day, a day that we could be here and worship you. We're thankful so much for the lesson we heard from Austin, dear Lord, this morning and tonight. Dear Lord, thank you for each teacher that stood before a class and expressed your word to all of us. Dear Lord, thank you for them, all the teachers. Dear Lord, thank you for our families, dear Lord, at this time when we can be with them. Dear Lord, help us during the holiday season to be aware of those that don't have family, that are lonely and hurting for other reasons, dear Lord, and help us to remember them and to do what we can to help them through this period of time. Dear Lord, we thank you for each one of our members of our family, and dear Lord, help us to never take advantage or take it for granted our families and how special they are. Dear Lord, when we leave this service, dear Lord, and travel down to Fellowship Hall, dear Lord, ask that you would bless the food we're about to enjoy and for the fellowship that we will have and the fun. And dear Lord, help us to treasure these times together. Dear Lord, thank you for loving us. Thank you for all you do for us. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.